The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Thursday. We've made it this far in the week, and we really appreciate you dropping by this afternoon. We've been talking about Tennessee every single day, and today they have made more news. They have replaced Philip Fulmer as the athletic director with Danny White. Comes from a rich athletic family. He had been at UCF. Prior to that, he was at Buffalo, where he hired, among others, Nate Oates as the basketball coach. He's now at Alabama. Won the national championship at UCF a couple of years ago with Scott Frost, or so they claimed. Buffalo athletic director before that. Senior associate AD at Ole Miss. He's worked at Fresno, Northern Illinois. His brother is the head basketball coach at Florida, and his father, the highly respected Kevin White, formerly at Notre Dame. He just announced this week he was retiring at Duke. So Tennessee has definitely gone after a major name. Kevin White, considered by many to be one of the most attractive athletic directors in the country. Tennessee seemingly off to a good start in the search for a football coach, which will come next. We don't know very much more than that, but when Danny White lands on the ground in Rocky Top, we should hear what he has in mind in relation to the football coach. So let's move on to some other stories. And Larry Scott, who has been embattled for many, many years as the Pac-12 commissioner, is done. His time ends in June. We've spoken to Commissioner Scott a couple of times on the program. Well-liked by many people in intercollegiate athletics, not particularly well-liked by people within his own conference. One reason why his run will be coming to an end. He never could quite get the television packages right out there, especially with his own conference network. So they're starting to move on quickly. Remember last year, Delaney left the Big Ten. Now Swofford is on his way out. He's gone. He's being replaced. And Larry Scott is also out. So Bob Bowlesby, the longest tenured Power Five commissioner, followed very closely by Greg Sankey. Remember when Greg Sankey was the new kid on the block? Now he's pretty much the main kid on the block in terms of respect and influence. A lot of coaching upheaval in the SEC, as we have discussed, and some changes have been made. We have Steve Wilks now as the DC at Mizzou. Kevin Steele interim at Tennessee, but for how long? Bert Watts hired at Auburn as the O-line coach and special teams. And Doug Marrone at the University of Alabama. So a lot going on from a coaching standpoint in the SEC. What are we going to do today? We're going to do a lot. We hope you'll stick around for the next couple of hours. And here are some of the guests that we will be talking to. Andy Staples will get his reaction to the White hiring. John Wilner on the Wobegon Pac-12. Terry Bowden will join us in about an hour. Introduced this week at UL Monroe, the former Auburn coach, once the hottest coach in the country. That was 25 years ago. And Nate Oates, whose Alabama basketball team is playing better than anyone in the SEC and close to better than anyone in the entire world of college basketball. Coach Oates rejoins our program. So that is where we are. We'll talk about Tennessee a little bit later with the hiring of Danny White. More of your phone calls and reaction to all of that at 855-242-7285. And let's begin with, let's see who Dustin. I'm sorry. Dustin is first up in on our phones. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, Dustin. Hey, Paul. How you doing today, friend?
We are doing great. Thank you, Dustin.
I got a question for you. I heard through Vol Nation reading through the Vol Nation website that Tennessee is going to reach out to Peyton Manning for assistance on finding the next coach. And I would like to verify through you if you've heard that. And if so, are they going to let Peyton have a big role in that and lead the Haslams out of it?
Well, you know, you may be talking about one and the same there, because Peyton is very close to the Haslam family and always has been. Peyton is an iconic figure in Tennessee football. He's the most influential former player, so he's always going to be called for advice. And what I've heard is that has happened, and Peyton is pushing several people from the NFL ranks, whether that completely jives with what others are thinking. I think all of that is going to change right now with Danny White. He's made coaching decisions before. He will listen, but I don't think anyone's going to tell him who to hire.
Right. Let me ask you this. Is Tennessee on the brink, Paul? This is kind of like their last shot to get it right. And after this, if they can't get it right, you know, Tennessee is not ever going to be elite again. Do you have that feeling?
I've rather felt that was what happened the last time around. So, I mean, they are now in negative territory on this as being their last shot at getting it right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, man, that sounds great to me. I just wanted your thoughts on Peyton being being in there, and I do appreciate your phone call, Paul. Have a good day, buddy.
Thank you. And I think what you're really going to see at Tennessee is just the last 3 years of Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt are going to be excised. It's like it didn't happen, and Tennessee is literally starting all over again, having lost 3 years. That's all. Let's move along, and Mike is up next in New Jersey. Hey, Mike, good afternoon to you.
Good day, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, before I get to my comment, I heard you mention Danny White. I believe Danny White was at Buffalo when they hired Lance Leipold, who got to the MAC conference title game this year and also has 6 Division III championships under his belt with Wisconsin Whitewater.
That is correct.
So that's an interesting connection, I would think.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing about Danny White, he has made some big hires. This is even though it's been at Buffalo and at UCF, he hired Johnny Dawkins at UCF.
He hired Scott Frost as well at UCF.
Yes, so I mean, he is well versed on. I'm not sure. Yeah, I have to double check on whether he was at UCF when Scott Frost got there or not. But
Lance Leipold's been in conversation for several big jobs recently.
Yeah, he definitely hired him.
I'm wondering if this will be it.
I talked to someone in the industry today, and he said he really believed that of the new wave of athletic directors, Danny White is considered the most attractive. That's what he said.
He's got a great pedigree. But the point I call for is about Tennessee trying to get rid of Pruitt for cause. Recently, Kansas tried to get rid of David Beatty for cause. Recently, Ole Miss tried to get rid of Houston Nutt for cause. Both times they said there were allegations these guys were responsible for that turned out not to be true. Both times those coaches sued in court, and not only did they win their buyouts, but the athletic directors and administrators that tried to get rid of them for cause were not only embarrassed, but had to pay huge legal fees. Now, I'm not saying Jeremy Pruitt's 100% innocent, but trying to get rid of somebody for cause is complicated. Not as easy as it seems, and oftentimes, as Kansas and Ole Miss found out, can backfire and embarrass the university.
Mike, you're right. I don't think they will ultimately prevail. I think they'll settle with Jeremy Pruitt. This is a posturing situation. I think some of this is also being done, some of this peacocking is being done to try to curry favor with the NCAA, for the NCAA to look at this, give the chancellor credit for saying what she did, maybe allow that to help mitigate some of the damages. I mean, right now, the damage has already been done. I mean, you're seeing a mass exodus of players. Can't stop that. It's affecting everything, and that program is literally at a standstill. Yes, it's good that you're bringing in a good athletic director who has a good reputation, but ultimately the football coach is going to determine where this program goes, and it's not going anywhere right now, and I don't think it's going anywhere in the immediate future.
Thanks for the time, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We will take a break. A lot to do on the program. We'll get some more reaction to the move at Tennessee. Seemed like a logical move for them to bring in an athletic director quickly. We all knew that would happen. And more of your calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction?
Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. We're really appreciative of you being here. A lot to do. Andy Staples coming up here shortly. And let's check in with Mitch, who is in South Carolina. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How are you today?
Mitch, we're doing great. Thank you.
I hope you're doing well. At the end of the show yesterday, I think somebody was taking a pot shot at me, because I made the comment I was reading between the lines about something, and that somebody's eye man. And he made the comment that not only I can't read between the lines, I evidently can't read. And I apologize to you first off, because I don't believe in getting into a war of words.
Well, for Mitch, I will tell you, I had no earthly idea what I-Man was talking about. And
I don't either, but
I really cared even less.
But I want to tell him something. Not only can I read between the lines, I-Man, I can read people pretty well. And all summer long, all he has talked about is that good old days when you first started the show and he was the most popular, and he misses the good old days. Well, it's not the good old days anymore. It's the good future days now. And Paul has welcomed a whole new group of people to his family. I don't think he's asked you to leave his family, but All you did yesterday was call in and make a pot shot at Jim, who doesn't even call in anymore, and a pot shot at me. So it sounds like to me you're worried about becoming just like the team you support, a has-been. You have a good day, Paul. I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. Same here. We'll talk soon. Wow. Pretty serious criticism there. Let's continue here with more calls. And Phil in Tennessee. That makes sense. Hey, Phil. Phil, you there?
Hello?
Yeah. Phil, you are on the air.
Yes, this is the Mossom Kit from Mossom, Tennessee. First of all, it's an honor and privilege, Paul, for you to take my call.
Thank you very much.
I am a lifelong Tennessee fan. 1956 is when I saw my first game.
Oh, wow.
And certainly I am loyal. I got a couple of things, you know, I'd like to run by you, if it's possible.
Sure.
One, I believe really that, in my opinion, certainly, which doesn't mean much, the Chancellor really could have used a few more chosen words. I thought she was really, really too direct in her approach. And, you know, that's one thing. You know, I don't think it helps our program, you know, for her to name names and what have you. I think everyone knew that Jeremy Pruitt's head coach, and that he would be terminated. Also, the bags of cash that are mentioned. Jalen Hyatt has went on record as saying that he thought that was bunk. And what's your opinion about that?
Phil, I don't know where the bags of cash story is coming from. I know a talk show host said it, but I have not heard that. And I think it's just another falsehood hanging out there in the wind.
I agree with you, and also I agree that the Danny White hire was tremendous for our university. One other thing, do you believe that being loyal to the university myself, Kevin Steele is a Tennessee guy, and regardless of who gets head coach, do you believe they will keep him on as defensive coordinator?
I do, and I agree with you. I've talked to Kevin Steele many times about the University of Tennessee, and that is a important place in his life, as it is to you and me and many others. So I believe he will stay. Now, I don't know, depending on the new head coach, ultimately I do think it should be up to him. And the one thing I do like about the Kevin, not the Kevin Steele hire, but about the Danny White hire, is that you just can't hire someone because he once worked at Tennessee, went to Tennessee, played at Tennessee. I'll never forget talking to John Curry the day he was hired, and all he did was wax poetic about the 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, that he was the assistant athletic director at Tennessee, even though he had I could be wrong, but I think he went to Wake Forest or North Carolina or somewhere else. I really don't know or care. But that is not, that should not be a prerequisite. And that's what we heard when the usual suspects were rounded up the other day. Mark Ingram, he played at Tennessee. John Gilbert, he worked at Tennessee. Those are both qualified people. But you should not hire someone at a critical moment because he has connections. Now, I understand why it's helpful. And I understand people in East Tennessee. I only lived there 4 years. I'm not trying to act like I'm an expert on East Tennessee. But there is a familiarity. But, sometimes you just have to hire the best available person, which I think they did today. Let's continue. And Matthew is up next. Matthew, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. This is Matt. I just wanted to call in. I saw that you haven't talked about the AD there yet. Pretty excited about it. He's a national championship winning AD. I'm pretty sure that we're going to be pretty good now. And I just figured, I love your show. Try to call in every day. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I will tell you. If I had to say the only thing about Danny White I did not like when he was at UCF, it was his insistence on declaring the UCF the national champs. I thought he overdid that, but. He's at a smaller school trying to be recognized with the big guys, but his resume is excellent, Matt. And I give the people at Tennessee credit for just being a little bit different and not hiring a usual suspect like so many others do. Gary is up next. Hey, Gary, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Gary, we're doing well. Thank you.
Listen, just a quick comment, just to show you kind of what state we're in over at UT, Tennessee. I've got a suggestion. How about we rename the University of Tennessee Vanderbilt East?
Well, if you look at the record over the past 8 or 9 years, it's pretty similar.
Well, hopefully there's brighter days ahead, but I agree with you. This is going to be a long haul. I think this is absolutely our last chance. And I can remember, I've been watching UT football since Johnny Majors was running the single wing.
Oh, my goodness.
And some of the great games, one of the greatest games, Tennessee playing Georgia Tech, undefeated. Georgia Tech loses to Tennessee 6-0. So we've got a really storied history, and I'm hopeful that we can go back and regain that.
It would be nice.
All right, thank you.
It really would. Hey, thank you very much. Kelly is up next in Cincinnati. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Kelly, we are doing great.
Great.
How are you?
So my question to you, good. Big-time Alabama fan, graduate. Just got done watching the rerun of the national championship game. Can't get enough of it.
No, never.
Devontae Smith, I mean, am I right?
I saw a few minutes of the game today right before us, and he was just as good in the first half this time as he was a week and a half ago.
I know it. Well, listen, my question to you today is, do you think Jeremy Pruitt needs to come back to the Nick Saban coaching rehab?
It would not hurt, and maybe this time he'll listen.
Right. Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks a million. Roll Tide.
Kelly, thank you. We are going to take a break. Andy Staples will be joining us in a couple of minutes. We'll get his take on everything going on around college football, including Rocky Top. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back, and we continue to follow the news from Knoxville and everywhere else. In case you're just getting on board, the university announced just a few minutes ago that it has hired an athletic director, and he comes from UCF, Danny White. He is the brother of the Florida basketball coach and obviously the son of the Duke athletic director. And Andy, as we say hello to you, Andy Staples joining us. If they get the football coach done as efficiently and as expertly as the basketball, as the AD, they already have a good basketball coach. They may finally pull out of this mess. Your reaction to Danny White?
I think this is a really good hire, Paul. I mean, you look at what Danny did at UCF, and I know SEC fans probably think, oh, this is the guy who declared the national title for UCF. Well, he was working for UCF, and that actually helped UCF quite a bit. Not just in terms of moving some merch, but also how many people do you think knew that UCF was a large state university in Orlando, Florida, before all of that? I mean, Danny White helped them so much in terms of branding, in terms of just building a name for the school itself. And that's a great thing when he's your employee. And now Tennessee is going to have him working for them. Now, I imagine his messaging will probably be a little bit different as the Tennessee AD than it was as the UCF AD. But the thing is, you got a bright guy who is smart, thinks outside the box, you know, is kind of on the cutting edge of all this stuff, knows a lot about facilities, raising money, you name it. That's what you need. Now, you need to make a good hire, and you look at his football hire at UCF. He hired Josh Heupel, and we were all like, wait, Josh Heupel? The guy who was at Oklahoma and then Missouri? But Josh Heupel's been a good head coach at UCF. Nate Oates, he hired at Buffalo as the basketball coach. I believe Nate Oates' Alabama team is pretty dominant right now, so it seems like he has a pretty good eye for coaches.
Andy, as he's about to make that turn toward being the AD and now making a decision on a football coach, having studied and watched in real time what he has already done, what does that tell you about what you think he may end up doing now?
I think it's a case of how much are they telling him, and obviously I would tell him everything when he gets in the chair. Here's what we found in this investigation. Here's what we think might happen. And they have Michael Glazer, who's one of the preeminent defense attorneys for schools against the NCAA. So he should have a pretty good idea of what is going to come down the pipe. And that's the thing that Danny White needs to know before he hires this football coach, because, you know, how hamstrung is that person going to be in terms of recruiting? What kind of person are you going to need? Because, you know, the thing is, if you're dealing with a lot of sanctions in recruiting, I think it can be pretty safely assumed you're probably not going to recruit on the level of Alabama and Georgia right off the bat. You're going to need a coach who can get you in a schematic position to close a talent gap. And look, honestly, this is what Tennessee should have been doing all along, trying to be Alabama with less good players was a pretty dumb way to go. But now I think you look at it and you go, okay, who are the coaches that have a definite identity, specifically an offensive identity with a system that can score points even if they don't have a bunch of five-star recruits? Now, I would say that you look in the group of five for that. Look at a guy like Jamie Chadwell, who grew up nearby Caryville, Tennessee. He's got an offense that's based on the triple option, but it's not Army's offense. It's not Navy's offense. It's actually probably more of a descendant of what Tom Osborne did in the mid-90s at Nebraska. You put some good athletes in that offense, and Tennessee's still going to get some good athletes. You could do some things. If it's going to be really, really bad, one guy you might look at is Will Healy at Charlotte. Now, he hasn't really gotten a chance to do that much at Charlotte because of the circumstances and COVID, but he took over a team at Austin Peay that had the nation's longest losing streak. There is no situation more hopeless than that, and he nearly got them into the FCS playoffs coming off that streak. So that's the type of guy you may need to look for at Tennessee, and not the guy who's going to try to be Alabama all over again. They tried to Saban-ize twice with Derek Dooley and Jeremy Pruitt. Didn't go so well. So maybe go a different direction.
Yeah, and Healy, you know, he had a season this year that never really got off the ground, but we've had him in here a couple of times, and he is a really charismatic guy, as is Chadwell. So you're telling us Hugh Freeze needs to concentrate on Liberty, right?
I just don't see how you can do it when you cooked up an NCAA investigation to get out of paying a buyout. Like, you can't go hire somebody who was the subject of an NCAA investigation at a fellow conference school if you're going to do that. And again, I'm not sure the juice is going to be worth the squeeze on this investigation. Yeah, you may get out of paying Jeremy Pruitt his buyout, but I think you may do more damage long-term than if you'd just written the check. And I always wondered, as these buyouts kept going up and up and up, what school would do this? Who's going to finally be the one that says, all right, I guess we're going to turn ourselves in so we don't have to pay? Well, you have your answer now. It's Tennessee.
Outside of those two, and I think you've identified the group of five candidates, is there an outlier some out there somewhere, a Bill O'Brien who did a reclamation project or someone like that?
I think Bill O'Brien would be a good choice. It sounds like he's down the road with Alabama a little bit on the OC job. But you look at what he did at Penn State, you know, that was a horrific situation he stepped into at Penn State. He kept the recruiting class together. He kept that program moving forward. Now, he's probably going to be trying to get back into the NFL at some point. And the one thing Philip Fulmer said in that press conference the other day that I tend to agree with is you want a guy who's going to be on that sideline for the next 10 years and doing well for the next 10 years, not someone who just is there. And, you know, I don't know that someone who's probably looking to get back to the NFL is that person right now. I think if we were talking about this post Butch Jones, that would probably be the right move. But we're not talking about that post Butch Jones. We're talking about it now where Tennessee has had nothing but churn for, 11, 12 straight years. It's time for some continuity there. Hire somebody who really wants to be there and wants to be there a long time.
There will be excitement when that day comes, and it will come soon. You and I know that. But as we're watching players enter the portal and recruiting taking a hit, where is this program right now, and how bad do you think the aftershocks of what happened Monday will be, and how long will they reverberate?
It could get real bad in terms of player losses. Now, we'll see what happens with the signing class, how many of those guys want to get released. If all the signees say they want to get released, if you're Danny White, you know what you do? You release them, because this is the one year you can get away with that, because you know you've got the change in the transfer rule coming. You're going to be able to have a bunch of guys come in and play immediately, and that might help you because you've lost a lot of talent and a lot of top line, like Wanya Morris and Eric Gray, and these are guys who would have been your starters, Henry To'oto'o. You've got to find people now who can come in and play. And so you may want to have some people from elsewhere in the Power Five or Group of Five who were starters for a couple of years who just want a chance on a bigger stage. This is the one year you can do that. So if those signees come to Danny White and say, Mr. White, new AD, I'd like to get out of my letter of intent, if you're Danny White, you say, okay, here you go. Go wherever you want.
Andy, Let's talk finally about the University of Tennessee. And so a lot of moving parts. It's a fluid situation. But this program is no longer particularly relevant on the national scene. We've seen this happen to a lot of programs over the years. Nebraska moved off. Texas, it's debatable how relevant they are.
Right.
Where is this program, and what is the likelihood it can come back in a reasonably short period of time?
Well, here's the thing. It's a program with a ton of money, a ton of tradition. It's 3 hours from Atlanta. It's 2.5 hours from Nashville, which is one of the fastest metro, you know, fastest growing metro areas in America. It can come back quickly with the right coach. It's not impossible. This is not a case where they will never be back. Part of the problem is you've got Nick Saban at Alabama. You've got to play them every year. You've got Kirby Smart at Georgia. You've got to play them every year. Florida's got a good coach in Dan Mullen. You've got to play them every year. So they're kind of behind the eight ball there. And then you've also got Dabo Swinney at Clemson, where you have to compete for the same recruits as him. Matt Brown at North Carolina, who's recruiting really well right now. So it's a tough job. It's not one of those where you're going to come in and you have a couple good recruiting classes and all of a sudden you're at the top of the SEC East. You're going to have to fight and claw to be in contention for third place in the SEC East. But here's the thing. Once you get to that point, then you can talk about competing for SEC East titles, competing for SEC titles. And I think if they hire the right guy, and the now we'll see with the NCAA what happens there, they could do that in a few years with a few good recruiting classes and be there and then say, okay, how do we take that next step? And if they hire the right coach, that person will help them take the next step. And a lot of this is dependent on some things. Like, you know, Paul, I think there's a lot of coaches in the SEC going, well, when Nick Saban retires, things will finally open up. And that's the truth. I mean, that's a loss every year for Tennessee as long as Nick Saban's there. You just have to deal with that. And, you know, he's not going to coach forever, but he is their coach now.
Andy, but how do you communicate to a fan base that has seen this program self-destruct countless times in the last 12 years, and now it's farther behind today than it was the day Butch Jones was escorted out of town? And, you know, they're always back. They're like Texas, we're back. Fulmer claimed a year ago, we're back. How do you tell a group of fans who go to Neyland Stadium and see Peyton Manning and read about John Majors? How do you tell them that you're barely ahead of Vanderbilt right now?
I just think they have to be realistic about it. I deal with a lot of Nebraska. You mentioned Nebraska earlier. I think Nebraska fans have gotten very realistic about this. It's taken them time, but they're realistic about their place in the world. Right now, they would love to be Wisconsin. If they could have a program that acts like Wisconsin and gets results like Wisconsin every year, they would be happy. They don't need to be national title contenders every year. And I think Tennessee needs to get in that place too, where you're not going to be a national title contender every year, but there's no reason you can't occasionally compete for the SEC East title, occasionally compete for the SEC title, and if you can do that, then you can be a national title contender. But it's not going to be like it was in the 90s, when Tennessee and Florida were essentially playing the de facto SEC title game every year. There's just too much talent spread across the SEC for that to happen. You know, it's going to happen at a place like Alabama, or it may happen, you know, LSU. You've got to deal with those things, but you're not going to be that every year. But you can be that some years. You can still be that.
Andy Staples from The Athletic. Great to have you on, Andy. Always a pleasure to hear your perspective. We will talk to Terry Bowden in the next hour. He is at ULM. It was announced 2 days ago. We'll have our first conversation with him in a while. Look forward to that. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back on a Thursday afternoon, and Eddie is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, my man? Roll damn tide.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I just want to commend Mitch on standing his ground, right? Because he's absolutely right about our man. I can't even remember the last time he ever made a good call. I mean, the guy don't know anything about sports. He's like that guy who just lost his girlfriend. So he's like, if I can't call Pine Bomb Show, I don't want anybody calling Pine Bomb Show. So, yeah, our man just needs to chill out. Let him know, Paul, that it's a new time. He's old news. Nobody want to hear from him anymore. Hey, Paul, I being an Alabama fan, I've just been sitting back hearing everybody, you know, kind of sort of trying to tear Alabama down. You know, and here's the thing, Paul. I don't even know if they know the history of Alabama. I know you know it real well, Paul, but I think Alabama's probably one of the only teams, Paul, that won a championship in every decade. If you go back to, what, the 50s, 60s, Paul? Is that right?
Alabama's been winning national championships, I think, since the 20s.
Yeah, I know, Paul. And here's the thing. They think that if when Nick Saban leaves, we're going to turn it into Vanderbilt. It's laughable. It's laughable. Oh, when Nick Saban leaves, you wait till Nick Saban leaves and watch what Bama does. Hey, we ain't going nowhere. Bama is a brand. It is a factory, Paul. It's not going anywhere. And as far as Tennessee, Paul, I've been hearing so much of Tennessee. This is what Tennessee need to do, all right? Arkansas has done it the right way, Paul. You find a coach that want to coach your program. It's very simple, okay? Most of these guys are looking for the next step. That's why Arkansas got it right, and Arkansas is going to be in the mix, Paul, in the future because they got a coach that want to coach Arkansas. And that's what Tennessee got to find. Don't go out looking for the next hot coach. That's you looking at potential, Paul. Potential don't always work like that. You also had Paul, early this week you had a guy that you interviewed, Martin Luther King Day, about black coaches and the not having enough black coaches. Was he trying to figure out why, Paul? Was that his question? I thought he was asking you that.
Yeah, Bill Roden on Martin Luther King Day. He was just making a statement that there are very few black coaches.
Yeah, what do you think about, Paul, and why you think that is?
I don't know. He was looking at it as a cause. To me, you have to look at every school individually. You can't blame Mississippi State for what Penn State does or Alabama for what Arkansas does. Every school should go out and hire the best coach for that school.
Oh yeah, I agree with you, Paul. But that's not going to happen in the SEC. They're not ready for that yet. I mean, it's just the way our world is. And you look at Clemson. I mean, you might get one chance, Paul, but you never. I don't know if you're going to get a second chance. And you look at a guy that just left South Carolina and two major schools in the SEC, Paul. This guy's not a coach. He's a coordinator, and I hope he finds that out sooner or later. That's all I got, Paul. Roll damn tide.
Randy is up next. Randy, thanks. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I've been a Tennessee fan my whole life. I just went on the coaching situation in Tennessee. What's your thoughts on Bob Stoops or Jason Witt?
I don't think either one of them will come close to getting the job. Yeah, I mean, again, I want to caution people. Jason Witten's never been a head coach. He had never been an analyst, and he tried that, and it lasted a year. But, you know, Bob Stoops is retired. So I don't think you're looking in the right places. I think what Andy Staples said is more likely to happen, that you end up with a Jamie Chadwell type of coach. Let's continue. Curtis is up next in Chattanooga. Hey, Curtis, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Paul, I'm a Tennessee fan. And my first game I seen Tennessee was the Alabama-Tennessee game, the 5 overtime when Tula was the coach.
Oh, yeah.
And we were sitting there in the stands, and we were never impressed with Shula. I mean, it's a, you know, and I'm trying to downshoot it. But in our situation, like you said, the guy, Andy said earlier, be patient. We just have to be patient if you're a real fan. And the program got to be built again. And I would like to see a black coach come up there, but, you know, this is the South, it's the SEC. But like you said, what's the best coach? What's the one that's going to be there, that's going to be loyal to the program? And, you know, that's what we want.
Thank you very much. We are out of time for the first hour. Terry Bowden will join us in the next hour.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.